You can hear me.
Wow.
God made sound. Okay, so I'm going to start off this morning with a scripture reading from Matthew 28, 19 through 20. It's the Great Commission. I don't know. A lot of it's very well known, but some people don't know. So, okay. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the end of the age. I think the great thing about the Great Commission is that it's not just for one nation, and it's not just for a group, like a set group of people. The Great Commission orders all of us to go out to spread the great news of Christ our Savior. And so it says all the nations, not just overseas, but also not just in your own home. So just learning to live a missional lifestyle and encouraging yourself every day to grow in Christ and to spread the word. And knowing that surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So like, no matter where you're at, no matter what wall you're hitting, or no matter what mountain you're crossing at that time, God is always with you, whether you're learning the gospel yourself or whether you're sharing it. And so, I don't know, let me get my Kenya thing up. Here we go. So, I just recently went to Kenya. It was June 16th through July 2nd. So we were over there about 2.5 weeks, and half of the time was spent in a rural village called Batula, and the other half was spent in Nairobi working with the campus ministry. So whenever we first all decided that we wanted to go, it was really a prayer-based choice. There were 16 of us that ended up going, and it was a lot of constant prayer deciding, like, God, do you want me to go? Do you want me to serve? Is this where I'm meant to go? Because I went with my campus ministry, and we had lots and lots of options. People, like I mentioned at church throughout the last couple weeks, they went to Ukraine and Kenya, and gosh, it seems like they went everywhere, but I went to Kenya. And then before we left, we actually had different prayer meetings where we would all gather together and we would pray for the people and we would align our hearts with God, and we would just worship Him and then get to know each other as a group so that we could function together whenever we got to Kenya. So upon arriving in Kenya, we were greeted by, this is actually the last slide, so. So upon arriving to Kenya, it was really, I can't remember if it was really early in the morning or really late at night, but we were all tired and very disoriented. But we were greeted by our three new team members. So we didn't really call them like extra Kenya friends, but they were a part of our team and they helped us worship and they're a part of our daily devotion and our daily prayer, and then just working with all the people everywhere we went. So it's Chesh and Benji and Wombo and PJ. But whenever we were in the airport, they said, oh, their names will be super easy, like Rachel and Sarah and whatever, and like, that's their middle name. They wanted us to go by their first name, what people actually call them. So we called them Benji and Wombo and Chesh and PJ. So it was really cool that we didn't have to go by their American name. So they traveled with us to Batula, where we worked in a rural school village where there were around 170 children going to school and probably 5 or 6 schoolroom houses with like dirt floors in it. Here's the next picture. Yeah, there we go. So that's our team, and then there's all the kids in the background. And when we got there, the kids got up and they sang songs and they danced for us and they showed us some of the things that they'd been learning in school. And then we started our Vacation Bible School program. So in the United States, when we do Vacation Bible School, we pull out the balloons and the posters and all the crazy extra stuff. But like, we didn't have those resources because we're overseas. We're kind of in the middle of nowhere, in essence. And so our theme was Acts of Faith. And we did Peter walking on the water, David and Goliath, Elijah, and the story of Shadrach and Abednego. Well, Shadrach and Benny is what VeggieTales calls it. So it was easier to express those names rather than Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. But they taught us songs because some of them had even heard those stories and they had been to church, and they taught us songs that went along with the story. Like I don't know if it's a Bible, if it's a song at Vacation Bible School in America, because I haven't been to Vacation Bible School way too long, but it's like, who was walking over the water? Jesus, the Son of God, you know? I don't know. They sang that, and then they sang it in Kenya and Haiti, not Haiti, Africa, I don't know. What is it called? I don't remember. Okay, and so one thing really cool about the kids is that they start school at 3 and 4 years old. So you guys are complaining about going to school now. Well, these kids are 3 and 4 years old, walking to school every day, walking home for their lunch, walking back, all just to go to school. And these kids, whenever they're growing up, they learn the village, they're learning their village language. So it's like Carrollton would, or Missouri would have a whole different language. And then they learn the Kenyan language, so it's like English. But then they also learned actual English. So there's 3 and 4 year olds that they're really still learning how to speak, and so they definitely don't know English, and they definitely don't know the Kenyan language. And so it was really, really interesting to be able to communicate with them, which really made it great to have Benji and Chesh and PJ there. There's the next picture. We can slide over. I think you just have to push the arrow. There we go. So this is whenever we were working in the Vacation Bible School. These are two of my team members, Kenzie and Ryan. And so one of our themes for whenever we did the story of Elijah, we talked about how it's important to have your faith, and like Elijah with the burning offerings. And so he had his faith in God. So we made them little cross necklaces, and they loved their cross necklaces. They wore them everywhere, and they were so proud to be Christians. Like, it was really, really cool just to see them run around with their cross necklaces and show everyone how much they love God. Like, look at this, I have this. And then one of the other activities we did, when we did David and Goliath, this was a real treat for them. We went out and we had balloons, and we made balloon swords. And I must say, I can make balloon swords now, so if you're ever looking for a clown, all I need is a nose. And we made probably 500 balloon swords, because they'd get out there and they'd be waving them around and they'd pop them and we'd have to start all over. And they were just really excited for that too. So Vacation Bible School was a really great event. And then at the end of the week, we had a celebration day. So it was just kind of asking them what they learned, what they've been thinking about, how God had been working in their hearts. And then we had like this big meal, and just seeing them fill their bellies. We made a lot of rice, just this huge mound pile. And then one treat was when we were in Chicago, right before we were about to go to the airport, we got this phone call saying, we need Kool-Aid. And so we're like, what? And I was on the team to go to Walmart to buy Kool-Aid, and we ended up buying 40 packs of Kool-Aid. And we're like, okay, this will be great, this will be great. We'll make Kool-Aid. And we get there, and unknown to us, the village has been out of water for 3 days. They had no water. The kids were just drinking of like what they had, what they were able to find. And we didn't have water. We had to drink from plastic bottled water just because of the health issues. And so in the very middle of our trip, there was a little bit of water turned on, and that was really good. But then the day before the celebration where we were supposed to have Kool-Aid, the water quit again. So the village, the whole entire village, not just the school, the whole town, just imagine Carrollton completely being out of water. This whole town was out of water. We're like, we can't do this. And so someone found a well out in nowhere, I don't know, and they filled a 55-gallon drum full of water, and then they gave me a huge paddle, like the kind you hit your kids with, kind of, and I don't know, and it was my job to make the Kool-Aid, and we stirred 55 gallons full of Kool-Aid for these kids, and like, they hadn't had that. It was one of their first times experiencing Kool-Aid, and they never really had pop either, and so just that sweet sensation, it was really amazing just to be able to have those resources. And we, as Americans, weren't allowed to drink it, but as the Kool-Aid maker, you can't just be like, I think this is fine, I'll give it to the kids. So I drank it, and I'm alive. So it can't be that bad. I don't know. It might be. I'm alive. Can we go to the next one? Yeah, so this is the last part of the celebration day. They had a school teachers versus missionaries, soccer tournament, because these kids love soccer. It's something that they know about and that they see. They're very into athletics, mainly because, like, we have all this gymnastics play equipment out in our schoolyards. Well, they just have, like, dirt and trees, and so they run around, they chase each other. We learn games that I would have never thought of creating. Like, they taught us so much about their culture and how they lived. And the 7th and 8th grade girls, they really had, just imagine American 7th and 8th grade girl. They're very similar. They had, like, the same mannerisms, like what they wanted to do, and they taught us all about what they were doing in school, and everyone was just very nice to us, and they taught us how to play their games, and that last celebration day was where a lot of the fun happened. Can we go to the next one? This is a little girl named Kate. It was really funny because I told her she didn't really understand English, but the only thing she really did understand was that I have a sister in America named Katie, and she really liked that. So, as you can see, she's on my back. This is a celebration day, and we're playing around. But this other girl has, like, fists in my hair. So, they love to play with our hair, and sometimes they're not so gentle, but it was a lot of fun. I got braids, I guess you could say, by some 4th and 5th graders. That might not have been the best, but they were braids. One thing that I was really struggling with throughout the first part of the trip was that I didn't know how to make connections with the students. I wasn't, like, I really thought that God was going to call me to work in this first part of the week because, like, I'm an education major, I love kids, it'll be great. And, like, I was 3 days into it, and I'm like, God, just fill me, like, this is not, like, I was really vulnerable with our team, and was like, you're not working for me, I don't know what's wrong with me. And it was, like, realizing that, we need to love with God's love and not with our love, because God's love is so much better than our love. And so once they were able to help me realize that and help me work with the kids, I really grew a lot and changed a lot. And that next day, I was really scared to go out there and, like, how am I going to love with God's love? Like, that's such a weird and, like, thing to try and do. But after, like, I really, somebody just grabbed me and taught me how to do it. It was amazing because there was this little 3-year-old boy, and something really just irritated him. And so he stomped off and ran away from the group. And Benji was like, go get him. I said, no, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. He knows where he's going. And that's not how 3-year-olds work. I didn't know that. He's like, you need to go love him. And I was like, I don't know how. He's like, go. And I was like, okay. And so I'm, like, following this little boy, okay, following him through the dirt, and he's, like, crying. And so I go to him, and I, like, tap him on his shoulder, and he turns around. And then I tap him on his shoulder, and he turns around. And he was not having it. And so finally, I just picked him up in my arms, and then we went outside, and I put my hat on him because it was really sunny out. And he ended up falling asleep in my arms as I told him Bible stories, and just, it was really neat being able to love specifically on that baby, because I don't know how much I affected the rest of the kids, but to that one child, it was really cool to have him just love me and fall asleep in my arms. And that was one of my favorite parts of working with the kids, because people, when you go overseas, people are not looking for a missionary. They're looking for a friend. And so you have to realize that in America, too. Nobody's looking for you to preach at them. They're looking for you to love them. And so learning to love with God's love rather than our love is just, it means so, so much more. And it's just, I don't know. It was really cool. And so after we got done with this, we ended up going to, is this next one? We had a day, our only touristy day, I must tell you. We went to a safari, but we had a couple complications on the way to the safari. It was around supposed to be a 4-hour drive. Well, it ended up 10 hours because our car broke down on the side of the road in the middle of a scary kind of town. And so we sat there for 4 hours on the side of a road in a scary kind of town and prayed a lot because we were in a scary kind of town. And so once we finally made it to our touristy kind of day, we were so tired that we didn't really want a hot shower. We didn't really want to eat the good food. We kind of just wanted to sleep. And so the next morning we went up and we got on our safari. But these are the vans that we kind of drove around the whole time. There's there were like 10 passenger vans, and they were a ton of fun. And you can look up and get out on the roof. But we didn't really open the roof whenever we were in town. We just opened it whenever we were on the Mara, on the safari. So this next picture, this is just a fun picture. We saw all kinds of lions and elephants and giraffe, and we didn't see any rhinos. So there's a big five. Whenever you go to Africa, it's like you're supposed to see the big five. I think we saw three of the big five. And so that was really cool. I just included this because lots of people like pictures of lions. All right. So this is where we entered the second half of our week. I don't have many pictures this second half of the week because everything was just so based on communication, based on hanging out. So when we were in Nairobi, we visited with a campus ministry called The Journey. And it's very, very similar to our campus ministry. So we went to an AG, an Assemblies of God church service one Sunday whenever we first got to Nairobi. So my campus ministry is associated with the Assemblies of God. And if you've ever been to an Assemblies of God church service, you kind of know that, like, they love to praise and they love to worship. And it was amazing because it was the exact same way in Kenya. These people were so into their worship. They were so into their prayer. And it was really cool to see the faith that God had in, like, people all over the world and just how much they love each other. And during one portion of the church service, we had the opportunity where we turned to our neighbor. I think we should do this everywhere. We turned to our neighbor and asked them how their week was and what was going on and how we could help them. And then we just prayed for them. Like, you just pray for your neighbor. And my girl, she said that her boyfriend and her brother were both alcoholics and that she worked for a news station in Kenya and that she just really needed prayer for them because she was so strong in her faith, but she just didn't know how to get away from all the alcoholism and all the foolishness of all that. So being able to pray for her and pray for her needs was really, really cool. This picture is actually taken at one of the campuses they're trying to start a campus ministry at. So we went to three campuses and did prayer walks. And then we went to this new one and did another prayer walk, but also had their very first service. So within campus ministries, usually once a week or every 2 weeks for Kenya, they have church services for their ministry. And so we were a part of the very first church service for that group. And that was really cool because this is something that's really, like, I think we should do it too. I don't know, I say that about a lot of things, but they didn't have a lot of members. And so what they did the day before was they went and they grabbed people on campus and said, "Hey, what are you doing tomorrow at noon?" And they're like, "What?" And they're like, "Can you meet me at this place?" Like, strangers they'd never even met. And they're like, "Sure, it'll be fun." And so there were people that had never even heard about God, had never heard the gospel, and didn't even know what they were showing up to, but they were willing to go and learn. And that was amazing. And so when I talk about prayer walks, that's what I mean there is, we do it at our campus a lot at Missouri State. We go around and you go to the different buildings and to the different places on a campus and you pray for the needs of the campus. So say we're at the ROTC section of campus, we would pray for like just military families, so students who are going through that, the ROTC program. If we were at a dormitory, we would pray for those students who are going through college, their finals, their tests, their stress or anxiety. And then at like sorority and fraternity houses, it's kind of obvious what we pray for there. So, and then we also had like dance parties and we met all the Journey staff members. And so that week in Nairobi, it didn't seem like we were helping a lot, but we were making friends. We were making connections and we were loving. And that's really just a really important thing that we were doing. And so that's our Kenyatta University. That was actually an agricultural and engineering campus, and it was beautiful. It was one of the most beautiful places in Kenya, I thought. Okay, next one. This was our last day whenever we were leaving. They got us all presents, and so we all had a devotional book that they gave us. I've been busy reading this summer, and so I haven't gotten to that one yet, but I will. And then we also got these cool, I really don't know what they're called, but they're like, they look like tablecloths, but there's some kind of thing you wear. And then everybody in Kenya had these shirts, and so I got one of these shirts. Small Kenya shirt. So, yeah, that's really all I have. Does anyone have any questions about my time in Kenya at all? Yeah.
Is that south of the equator? Was it like winter time there?
Yes, it was. Okay, so if you know me, I get cold. I get real cold. I wore long sleeves in Africa. That's me. It was cold. Well, when I say cold, it was like 60, 70, 80. But I was like, I'm in Africa. It should be 134 right now, and it was not. But yeah, it was kind of cold. We wore pants most of the time. You can see we're all wearing pants. And sometimes we had to wear skirts because, like whenever we were broken down on the side of the road, when I said it was a weird town, there were, like, guys coming up to our car window and taking pictures in our car window of us because since we were traveling, we were just wearing, like, comfy shorts, and they had never seen white legs before. And so they were taking pictures of our white legs. But not me, because I always wear pants because I know my legs are white. Yeah.
Interesting food.
Yeah, so I actually came home and made the food a couple weeks ago. We had rice and beef stew and chapati. It's kind of like a tortilla, except much greasier. And then everything was so fresh. Avocado, pineapple, things like that. I got to see a pineapple farm. I love farms. And so a pineapple farm was definitely something to add to my list to check off. Great food.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I think I'm supposed to invite them to sing a song.
This morning, when we were talking about worship service, I received this wonderful cross from Kira that she brought back with her from Africa. And I'm going to hang it in my office, and so anytime you need to be reminded that we have a wonderful minister in our midst, who happens to be going to school somewhere else, but she's still in our midst, come in and look, because the carving on it is magnificent, and it is really, really beautiful, and so are you. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
What a wonderful presentation. What a wonderful education. Every missionary I have ever met, no matter what kind of mission they went on, every missionary I have ever met says, I learned more than I taught. I received more than I gave. And that includes me, you know, with the ones that I have done as well. I always receive more, and I always come back with just a slightly guilty feeling that how come I got more than they did? They were supposed to get more, until I realized that it truly is a mutual ministry that we do. Whenever we travel or here, it's a mutual ministry because all of us are learning about what an amazing friend we have in Jesus Christ. And whether it's in Kenya or Nairobi or Carrollton or New York or wherever, the message is still the same. Our Lord and Savior is our best friend and the one we walk with each day. Let us stand and sing our hymn of invitation.